Let's recognize these men for what they do. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we do thank you for godly men, for godly fathers. Father, what a powerful influence they are on their families, on their homes, on our church and community. Father, as they walk with you and show the way, and as they teach their children how to follow you, and as they set the example before their children that they should follow, Lord, we ask that you bless them. Lord, we know that it's not always easy to be a dad, that sometimes that means showing strength, and sometimes it means exercising discipline, and sometimes it means making hard decisions. But Father, we thank you for these men who depend upon you to guide and bless them, that they might bless their families. And we pray, Lord, on this day, as we are grateful for fathers, that, Lord, you will bless us, that, Lord, as they enjoy gifts that are given and meals that are prepared and expressions of love, cards and calls, that, Lord, you'll make this day a very special day in their lives. And, Lord, that you will empower them as moving forward they continue to be the men that you have called them to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, how did you like your Sunday bulletin cover this morning? Didn't that look good? I just want you to know that after church today, Nathan will autograph your bulletin for $1. And John Mark will autograph it for $5. So, of course, his autograph may be a bite mark, huh, Lindsay? That was exciting. I do want to take just a moment before I move into the sermon, just for a point of personal privilege to share with you. We had a good Southern Baptist Convention this past week, and I look forward to sharing more with you about decisions that were made and things that were done and business that was accomplished at a future time. But one of the things that happened this past Wednesday, it was a very humbling opportunity in my own life, as I was elected as one of two Alabamians to serve as a trustee for the International Mission Board for the next 4 years, and I'm excited about that. And I'm a little bit intimidated because that means I'm following in the footsteps of David Taughton, who served for 8 years as a trustee of the International Mission Board. And we are so grateful because missions is so much a part of the DNA of our church, with missionary families that are part of our church, with missions commitments that we have made, with all of the ways that we have sacrificially offered ourselves and our gifts over the years. What a privilege to represent such a wonderful church family and the state of Alabama and our Southern Baptist Convention. Family counselor Dave Simmons tells a story about a morning that changed his life. He was out on the family farm with his 4-year-old son, Brandon. They were walking across a pasture to feed the horses, and he said as he walked, he recognized that Brandon kept falling behind. And he turned around to see what was going on, and he discovered that his little boy was very carefully trying to place his feet in his father's footsteps. Dave said when he saw that happening, he began to have a little fun with the son. So he started doing this a little bit, and he started doing this a little bit, and he just started moving around the pasture. And every time the little boy, with this great look of determination on his face, would step exactly where his father had been. He said, it was at that point that the Heavenly Father spoke to me and helped me to realize that I had been given a sacred trust to live as a model for my children to follow. This Father's Day, I want to remind you that Proverbs places that call upon all of the men who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to show the way, to teach the way, and to challenge our children to follow in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we go to Proverbs chapter 4, the passage that we read together a few moments ago, I want to take just a few moments and I want to share with our dads but also with our moms, that this is a calling God has placed on our lives. This is what godly fathers are called to be in order to be the one who sets the steps that others can follow. So let's jump in. And the first thing I will share is this. Fathers are responsible for modeling spiritual leadership. We are called to personalize the things that matter the most. What am I supposed to do as a dad? You know, those are questions that you ask. I remember Nathan not long before John Mark was born. You were scared to death. He was all the time saying, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. I don't know if I'll know what to do. I'm not sure how to act. And then you find out it kind of comes along, doesn't it, as you go. You learn, these are the things I need to do. These are the ways I need to learn to help my child as my child develops. I need to help as my child learns how to walk. I need to help as my child learns how to talk. I need to help as my child grows and makes decisions and goes to school, and it never stops. But along those ways, we need to remember that while we are called to pass on a lot of things, there's nothing more important than that we pass on our spiritual lives. Listen to how personal the passage we read together is. Solomon, writing in Proverbs 4, says, "Hear, my son, receive my sayings. I have taught you. I have led you." That's just in 3 verses. What is he saying? Over and over again, he's saying, you look at me, you listen to me, you hear what I'm saying. This is personal stuff. I'm not talking about this in general. I'm talking about this as your father. This is me talking to you. Throughout the passage, it's always about a father and a child. What are we learning? We're learning this. Faith is always to be both taught and modeled. Taught and modeled. Our children need to know what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They need clear truth from their dads. They need for you to be the one who says, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God has to say to you. But they don't want to just have you teach it to them. You've also got to model it before them. That's the pattern that the Lord has given us from the beginning. Listen to the words of the Shema from Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." This is one of the earliest commandments that the Lord gave to his people. What is it saying? It is saying from the very beginning in your household, before anything else happens, make sure that the Lord is honored. What does it do? It clearly states that God is to come first in a man's life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. There may be some people sitting here this morning who were saying, "I thought Jesus said that." And he did. When someone asked him the greatest commandment, what did he say? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. But really all he was doing was reminding them of the teaching of the Shema that God had given to his people hundreds and hundreds of years before. It has been God's commandment for his people. And what does it say? It says this: if you're going to be the man that your children need to follow, the first thing you've got to do is pay attention to your own personal discipleship. Pay attention and ask yourself the question, do I love the Lord the way the Lord deserves to be loved? Do I honor him within my own heart and within my own life? Before I ever worry about my influence, even on the people that I love the most, I need to ask the question, does he come first? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. The greatest gift any father has to give his family is the example of his own trust in the Lord. I learned something a long time ago. I practiced it with my own children when they were growing up. I learned that if children are going to be safe and secure, and if they're going to feel like they live in a wonderful place where they're being taken care of and loved and raised the way they should, they need to understand something. And I believe this with all of my heart, men. They need to know their mother comes before they do. Their mother comes first. I don't know how many times over the years when my children would get into an argument with my wife, that woman right there. I don't know how many times I would look at them and I would say to them, "You're not going to talk to my wife that way. You're not going to talk to the most important person in my life the way you did." But the Bible reminds us that before her comes him. Before anybody comes him. Love the Lord with all your heart, no reservation. All your mind, no reservation. All your strength, no reservation. Nothing makes a family stronger than if they understand Dad has made a decision, and that decision is, before anybody else in my life comes the Lord. And I will honor him before I do anything else with my life. But that's not all that they learned from the Shema. They also learned this: it places responsibility for spiritual leadership squarely on a father's shoulders. It is your job. Not everybody does that job, but everybody's been given that job. What does he say? You shall teach your children. You shall talk to them. You shall walk with them. You will make it a part of the life of your home. One of the things that I recognize that the Shema is saying is this: faith needs to be natural in your house. You don't need to say, "Okay, time out. Now let's talk about spiritual things. Time out, now let's quote a Bible verse. Time out, now let's have a prayer." Rather, he's talking about developing an atmosphere in your home that is naturally godly. It is naturally Christian. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with, God is in the midst of it all. That's your job, because you're to practice spiritual leadership. You are to model before your children, this is what it's like to live a Christian life. How can a father practice spiritual leadership? Let me give you five things real quickly. Number one, it takes a personal commitment to the Lord. Make sure your heart is right. Number two, it takes time. Notice, one of the things you see in the Shema is this: you don't have one-time conversations, you have constant conversations. It takes time. You can't sit down with your children one day, decide they've reached that age where they need to make a decision for Christ, and so you sit down and for the first time and the only time, you talk to them about faith. Instead, it is an ongoing, everyday, year in, year out conversation, so that when that time comes that they come to know Christ as Savior, it's the most natural thing in the world, because it's been coming. It's been coming since the day they were born. It takes time. We like things to happen instantly, but the best things are almost never the swiftest things. Rather, they are the most natural, most ongoing things. Number three, it takes persistence. Sometimes you just want to give up. Sometimes you just kind of lose your patience and you think, "I don't think we're ever going to get here. I don't think I'm ever going to get through to you." There's a word in the midst of that scripture that's important. Don't overlook that word: diligently. Diligently. Diligently means with willpower, with strength, with persistence. I continue to pour my faith out, even when I can't tell that you're hearing anything, even when I don't see that it's sinking in. You diligently continue to pray and lead your family. It takes consistency. If I'm going to lead my family, that means I've got to lead my family all the time, every day. That doesn't mean 5 days a week with 2 days off for good behavior. It doesn't mean except when I'm in a certain situation or certain environment or around certain people and then I can let it all go. It means consistently I live out my faith. It means you want nothing more than for your children, as the years go by, to point back and say, I saw a consistent faith in my father. It's one of the great gifts I have from my own dad that I remember from the now that he's away from us, now that he's gone on to be with the Lord, is that he lived out a consistent Christian life. And then finally, it takes attention. It takes attention. You've got to be deliberate. What does it talk about? It says, talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up. What is he saying? Pay attention to those opportunities to have spiritual conversations. Pay attention to those times when somebody's looking at you. Pay attention when you face a crisis and you realize your family is watching to see how you're going to react. Be intentional. Fathers are responsible for modeling spiritual faith. But Proverbs is not through yet. It also says this, and it says, fathers are responsible for offering personal guidance. Verse 11, he says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. In other words, I knew what I was trying to do. Later, Proverbs says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. God gives us children to influence and to guide. This verse reminds me of some of the important principles for godly dad. That term, train up a child in the way he should go, it is a Hebrew image of a sweet berry paste that was created, that you put on your fingertip and you placed it on your child's tongue when he was very young so that he would develop a taste for real food. You need to train them up to get a taste for the good things of God. When our kids were very small, Judith and I made a decision that we really tried hard to follow consistently through our lives. We never said to our children, we have to go to church. Get up at Sunday, we have to go to church. You know what we said? It's Sunday, we get to go to church. Today's the day when we get to go worship God. Not something we have to do or we're obligated to do or we ought to do. It was something we got to do. And I'm not sure I did a lot of right things in my life, but I know this. You know, after a lifetime of being preacher's kids, both of my kids love the Lord. Both of my kids love his church. Both of my kids enjoy being part of a worshiping community. They both love coming to this place and being a part of what God is doing here at First Baptist Church. Train up a child. Create a hunger for doing the right thing. How do you do that? How do you create this hunger? How do you train up a child? Let me suggest a few things. One thing is this, encourage the right as much as you discourage the wrong. What is the hardest thing to do as a parent? I'm convinced the hardest thing to do is not to let your life be defined by correction. That when we pay attention to our kids, it's because they just made a mistake. They just messed up. They just made a bad decision, and we want to point that out. Look what you did wrong. Don't forget in the midst of that to also say, look what you did right. Look how good that was. I am so proud of you. Not just because they got a grade on a report card, but because they exercised kindness or patience or love. Catch them doing something right. Look for opportunities to praise good behavior. Pay attention to what's going on. Never be embarrassed to share words of encouragement and love. Train them up. And then the Bible says, in the way they should go. Swindoll says that is a highly individualized phrase. When the Bible says you raise up your child in the way he should go, what you're saying is, and for each one, that's going to be a little bit different. having a conversation just this week with a young couple. They have a four-year-old, and now they've got a newborn. And one of the things they were talking about with this newborn that's a few months old now is nothing we did with the first one's working with the second one. Sound familiar? That's the way it works, isn't it? No two are exactly alike. You have to find what works as you raise them up in the way they should go, because every child has a different personality, different gifts, responds to different words and different corrections. As a parent, you're called to discover what works with each child and to help each achieve their very individual potential. Here's a really good never, okay? Never say to one of your children, "Why can't you be more like your brother or your sister?" You know why they can't be more like their brother or their sister? Because that's not who they are. And don't compare them to somebody else. Raise them up in the way they should go. At the same time, you parent each of your children individually. There are also things you want to accomplish with all of your children. You want to instill strong moral standards. Create a strong sense of right and wrong. Raise them up to understand this is the right way to go. This is the wrong way to go. You want to teach them courtesy and compassion, because that's how you learn respect for other people. You want to expect behavior that honors the Lord and your family. Steve Chapman tells the story of when he was leaving home for the very first time. He was joining the army and leaving this little West Virginia town that had been his whole life for as long as he could remember. And he said, "I remember being at the bus station as the bus was pulling up, getting ready to pick me up and take me off not only to the military but to the wider world. I was the first member of my family to ever leave that little town." And he said, "I remember as we stood at the bus station, my mother was crying and she hugged on me and hugged on me like she would never let me go. And my sisters were there and they were hugging on me and they were crying on me." And he said, "My father was an old mountain man, one of those guys that never smiled a lot, never expressed a lot, never showed a lot of emotion. But," he said, "as I was about to walk on that bus, my father walked up to me." He said, "He took that big old hand and he gripped my hand really hard and he put his hand on my shoulder." He said, "That had never happened before." And he said, "He looked me right in the eyes and he said, 'Son, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, remember whose boy you are.' And with that, he let me go." Said, "I never forgot that all of my life. Wherever I went, when I faced decisions and when I had moral choices and when I was making decisions about careers and as I moved forward in my life," he said, "there would always be times when the echo of those words would sound in the back of my mind. Remember whose boy you are." Remember, remind your children, you are God's children. Live like it. You are my children. Live like it. Remember whose child you are. And then finally, fathers are responsible for leading their children to Jesus Christ. Hear me this morning. I didn't say fathers are responsible for leading their children to believe in God. I said, fathers are responsible for leading their children to Jesus Christ, to a saving relationship with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Really doesn't matter, and you haven't done your job if at the end they have this kind of generic religious feeling about their life. You know, somebody's out there and somebody must have made all of this, and yes, I must be a good person because I believe there's a God. None of that really matters. Not in the long run. What matters is leading your children to Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul wrote these words to that church. He said, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Paul said he shared the gospel with them as a father does his own children. What is that saying? That says that Paul is saying, Father set the model for me. Father showed me the pattern. Fathers are the ones who showed me what it means to invest your life in someone else coming to know Jesus, and that someone else being the children in their home. Most fathers want their children to have the best and to be the best. I don't know anybody who has ever said, "Yeah, I just don't care about my kids, you know. They'll just get by. That's all that matters. I don't really care." You want them to have the best. You want them to be the best. It's why you coach their teams. It's why you teach them to love the things you love. It's why you make time to play with them and comfort them and listen to them. It's why you help them with homework and that you're there to encourage them when they take their first job. And you want everything to be just the best. In the midst of all these things, don't forget that God has given you the responsibility for introducing your children to Jesus. Unfortunately, too many times parents have bought into the idea that their children should be led to Christ by their pastor, by their youth pastor, by their Sunday school teachers, or even more generically, by those folks at the church. Those folks at the church can help my children to become Christians. And we can, and we count it a great privilege when we get to be part of the process. But it's not our job. Not where your family is concerned. That's your job. One of the greatest honors in my life is to be invited to help a young person make a commitment to Jesus. But how much more when all I'm really doing is confirming what has already happened at home. Confirming their walk with Jesus. Dads, don't miss out on the privilege of introducing your children to Christ. Don't let someone else have your blessing. You lead them to Jesus. This Father's Day, I challenge you. Know the Lord. Show them the Lord. Lead them to the Lord. And if you've done that, you've done the best thing you could possibly do. Dads, we honor you this morning. We pray for you. But mostly, we challenge you. Be that godly man that your family needs you to be. To be that godly leader, you've got to begin with your own walk with Jesus Christ. You've got to have made that decision that you're going to trust Him as Savior and follow Him as Lord. And if you're here today, dad or mom or child, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, today's the day that needs to begin. It's when you need to invite Him into your heart to be your Savior, to wash your sins away, to make you brand new. It's when you need to follow Him as Lord so that He can give your life direction and purpose. So He can help you be everything He's called you to be. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, in just a minute we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And I'll be here at the front. Dr. Hutchins will be here at the front. Either one of us would love to greet you and introduce you to the Lord Jesus. Or maybe as part of leading your family, you're thinking, I need to plant my life. We need to plant our family at First Baptist Church. We need to bring our membership here. And just say to God and everybody else, this is the place where we're going to grow. This is the place where we're going to serve. This is the church for us. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. As God speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together.
footprints that we leave, lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of
we've had a good day in God's house. We have worshiped. We have enjoyed God's word. We have been blessed. Now we're going to all go home rich and get French fries from our children. He says there's a few over here if you need one to go with you. Remember again, no services tonight, so you can take your dad out to get French fries somewhere or do whatever it is that's going to let him know how much you love. I'm glad we were here together. Let's have our closing prayer, then our final song. And Father, we do pray that we will be faithful to you in all ways as we guide our homes, as we follow you, as we trust you to give us direction and strength for our lives. Lord, we know we can't do it without you. So we depend upon you, and we thank you that you are faithful. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we join hands as we sing?
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great
bless you.